She's been preaching to me since she was three, so it's all good. Amen. Come on. God is good. I said, God is good. Hallelujah. I gave you scriptures and stuff back there, but forget them because God changed everything while we're worshiping. If you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, this is so heavy. Did I say second? I meant first. 1 Thessalonians. Hang on. Yeah, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The first verse says, you can't hear me? What? They need a little more volume, Mike. Hallelujah. Now listen. What we tried to do is not get it too much so it's boomy, so it's a really delicate balance in this room. Verse 1. But now concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, I have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know the perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. I don't know if you know it or not, but the signs of the times are here like never before. Ever before. I know you probably heard since you were a little kid and the generations before that Jesus is coming soon. But as we were worshiping, the Lord spoke to me that I'm coming soon. And are we ready for that? Come on. Israel is ablaze right now. Ablaze right now. And it's because the Scripture is being fulfilled. I saw a map this morning and it was the whole Muslim world was all in green, right? All the Middle East there was all in green. And here's this little dot about this big in gray. And it was Israel. Right? But Israel is God's land. It's His people. It's His holy mountain is there. It's where Jesus is coming back. Glory to God. He's coming. I said He's coming. But He's coming as a thief in the night. What does that mean? That means you're not going to know when He comes. Thieves don't put a sign up in your neighborhood and go, next week on Thursday evening, I'm going to be in your neighborhood ripping off houses. So you know, just so you know I'm coming, right? That's not how it operates. But He's coming. And He's coming soon. But we need to be ready. Let me say, we need to be ready. I was, go to Matthew. Oh, glory to God. Chapter 3. I was with another pastor. We had lunch today, and listen to this, because this is going to seem bold, and for some of you it might seem even judgmental. But he had this young man in his church that was doing some things that he shouldn't be doing. And his parents came to him and said, well, he's a Christian. And he said, he's not born again. The pastor said to his parents, he's not born again. What do you mean he's not born again? He had an experience. He came up and you prayed for him and he's not born again. How can you say that? Because his behavior doesn't match his confession. His heart doesn't match. You see, when you're born again, something happens on the inside of you and there's change that happens. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But look at Matthew chapter 3 and the first verse, the 11th verse says, and this is John talking about the coming of Jesus. I baptize those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone who is coming soon is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be a slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He didn't baptize everybody. He only baptized those who repented of their sins. Those who came to God and said, God, I have a need for you. Who came to him? Everybody came to him. There were even religious folks that came to him. What does it mean to repent? Repentance doesn't mean I'm sorry. All of you have been around people who've said they're sorry, and about the 10th time they say it, you're just thinking, don't say that to me. Because sorry isn't repentance. Repentance is when your heart is stirred to the place of change. You're going in one direction and you come back to another direction. Glory to God. Now watch this. Jesus in Matthew 4:17 said, from then on Jesus began to preach. Now we hear a lot today about, well, Jesus wouldn't be for them. And you know, you Christians, you, how come you're talking about sin? Don't you know that Jesus came to give grace? Don't you know that Jesus is all about love, 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 love? He is. In fact, he is love. But in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, from then on Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now watch this. If Jesus is really coming, do you think our message shouldn't be a little bit more about repent? Change. What you're doing is not right. What you're doing is not correct. What you're thinking is not right. What your attitudes aren't right. Come on. And I'm not talking, look at, we're all in the same boat. Now, I'm not a sinner per se because of the fact that Jesus' blood has made me a saint. But I still have the ability to sin. And I take up on it every once in a while. What do I need to do? I need to repent. Why? Because it's not okay. Sin is not okay. Listen, your lust is not okay. Your anger is not okay. Your drunkenness is not okay. Your sexual immorality is not okay. He's coming soon. My job for today is to tell you, change your heart and change your mind and come to Jesus, because He is here to turn us back to Him. We make excuses for our angry outbursts, and we make excuses for all of these things and say, well, you know, it's because I'm this way, or it's because this was done to me, or because that was done to me. Get saved. Get born again, because He'll wash you from all of that. He is our answer, is He not? I'm telling you, I would rather preach the other one. But listen to this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 41. The people of Nineveh will stand up against this generation on the day of judgment and condemn it, for they repented of their sins at the preaching of Noah. Now someone greater than Noah, Jonah, is here, but you refuse to repent. You refuse to repent. You refuse to repent. How many have had the Holy Spirit dealing with you about something, some habit or some attitude or some passivity in your walk with God? And He's saying to repent, but you refuse. Well, you know, I'm just living for Jesus, but I'm doing my own thing. Repent. Repent, because it's not right. I don't know what you came to hear this morning, but listen to this in Matthew 21, verse 32. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you did not believe him. How did they know that they didn't believe him? Because they didn't do it. Well, tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins. We've watched God move over and over and over and over and over. He's moving on this earth. He's moving in this country right now. There is revival happening in this country. I don't know if you know it or not, but there is revival happening. But why hasn't it happened to me? Just a thought. Maybe it's because we refuse to repent. What does God ask you to do and you're not doing? Has He asked you to pray and you're not doing it? Has He asked you to get into the Word and you're not doing it? Has He asked you to forgive and you're not doing it? What is it? Listen, I want to help you today. Repent. Change. And again, repentance isn't, I'm sorry, it's I'm going this way with my thoughts, with my actions, with whatever I'm doing. I'm no longer going to do that. I'm walking toward God. And whatever I do, whatever it costs me, if it costs me every friend I ever have, if it costs me my life, nothing matters. But for me to repent and be on the way with Him. There's people in this room right here that God has asked you to intercede, pray in the Spirit, and you haven't done it. Repent. Come on, this morning, let's repent. The world out there is dying and going to hell, and it's amazing that the church is just going on like nothing is happening. We're complaining about everything that's happening out there, but we're not doing what God has asked us to do in here. Again, I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing at me too. God is dealing with me right now. Repent. Now, we can hear this message and go tomorrow and nothing be this different. We haven't repented. When you repent, watch this, when you truly repent, then something in your life will be dramatically different. Come on. Something in your life will be dramatically different. You say, well, I've repented. Not if you haven't changed. Not if you haven't changed. Well, I'm a little better. What does that mean? Well, you know, I'm not as full of pride as I used to be. Think about it. We need to repent. I need to be who you want me to be, God. I need to be exactly what you want me to be. I need to be here for who you want me to be here for. I need to repent. You see, here's what I think happens is oftentimes we convince in ourselves, in our minds, that we're better than we used to be, so we don't proceed on to what God has for us. I was thinking about this the other day as I was meditating on doing a memorial service with a lot of people who aren't saved. And you know, sometimes we come across as, you know, I need to speak to the sinners. And I'm thinking, sinners. And really, if I've sinned, then there's some sin in me that am I a better sinner than they are? Am I a worse sinner than they are? What does that even mean? Really, what it means is that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit isn't leading you to sin. The Holy Spirit isn't leading us to pride. The Holy Spirit is leading us to repentance. Why? Because He wants you to be better. How many know the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You cannot have the results that you want unless you come to the Lord with all of your heart and say, Lord, I need to change. In churches years ago, and some folks made it almost a religious action, But there used to be altars on the front of the church. And when God, people were dealing with things in their life, they'd come down and they'd kneel in the front and cry to God. Say, God, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. It was a process of repentance. And the whole church got around them and they said, listen, I know you're struggling with this. I know you're struggling with that. And see, I'm not defining what this or that is, because whatever we're struggling with is what we're struggling with. Right? And it doesn't, you know, sometimes we put it, well, here's the big sin, here's the little sin, and if you're doing this, I'm not doing that, so I'm a better sinner than you are. And the reality is that's not true. But if you're struggling with something, when's the last time that you cried out to God and said, God, I don't want this anymore? See, the repentance is the first step of change. And the first step of repentance is recognition that what you're doing is not lining up with what God wants. And then quit making excuses for doing it. And whatever it takes to change. I mean, if they have to put me... If you're addicted to something and you need to go into detox, that's the first step of getting over that addiction, right? It's the first step of getting the chemicals out of your system. And any sin is like this, so don't look at, well, yeah, that's a drug addict, or that's a... You're not any better sinner than they are. If you have a problem with lust, if you have a problem with anger, if you have a problem with jealousy, if you have a problem with any of those things, you need to go into detox. You need to go before the Word of the Lord and say, this is not right. I am going to repent of this. And whatever it takes, no matter what program I need to get involved with, Holy Spirit, I need you to lead me, to guide me out of this, because I'm tired of the results that I'm getting. But until you're at the place of desperation, until you're at the place of you come to the conclusion that I need Jesus in this part of my life, you're just going to keep repeating what you're doing. I'm going to keep repeating what I'm doing. You understand? This isn't me preaching to you like I've got it all together and you don't. We're all in the same boat, but we have to come to the place where we say, Lord, I'm recognizing that you're dealing with me, and I want to come to the place of repentance, because it's your goodness that leads me to the place of repentance, oh Lord, because you want my life better for me, and you want my life better for those that are around me. I am no good to the people around me if I've lost my savor. Right? If I'm not on fire for God, hello? I need to repent. If I'm not letting God use me anymore because, you know, after all, they've all heard it, I need to repent. If it doesn't break our hearts to see one person die without knowing Jesus, we need to repent. Because there is a heaven to gain, but man, there's a hell to shun. And the Bible says that many, 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 many are following that way. And watch this. This isn't about them being a worse sinner than I am. It's not the magnitude of the sin that's taking them to hell. It's their blindness to what the gospel says. What does the gospel say? You must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead. It's not the words that you speak, it's the heart condition that you have when you speak them. That's why many people have come and said the sinner's prayer, but haven't changed. And I'm not the judge. I'm not the one saying that, okay, these five are saved and these five aren't saved. But here's what I'm saying. For each one of us, it's like, Lord, where am I in this place with you? Right? I'm not going with my pet peeve sins and saying, well, these are the biggies and these. Lord, I just need to have my heart in the place that you can deal with me. Watch, go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, we can all just blow this off, right? We can blow off today. Well, that was good. That was great. That was awesome. But that won't do us any good. I said, that won't do us any good. That will do us no good. Acts chapter 2 and look at verse 22. This is Peter speaking. You know, the one that denied him three times? This is Peter speaking, the man who Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you're filled with my Holy Spirit. Because when you're filled with my Holy Spirit, you'll be able to speak with fire. And it'll be a word that penetrates to the hearts of people. How many of you here have been filled with the Holy Spirit? Listen, and I'm not being sacrilegious, but la-di-da. If all we're doing is praying in tongues and it's not having an effect on us or others, come on. Come on. Now, I think you should pray in tongues. Paul said it this way. I wish that you all prayed in tongues all the time, but I pray in tongues more than you all. He needed to. Why? Because he needed the direction of the Holy Spirit, because everywhere he went, people were trying to kill him. Verse 22, men of Israel, hear the words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to be to you by miracles, wonders, signs God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. How many watch God move? How many watch God work? How many have ever been touched by the Spirit of God? How many have ever been healed by the Spirit of God? Right? How many have seen somebody healed by the Spirit of God? How many have had finances come out of the blue and needs met supernaturally? Man, I have. All of these people had seen that too. Him being delivered by the determined purposes, foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and you've crucified him and put him to death. Now, don't you think that's a popular message? That message would not be tolerated in some churches today. Come on, don't do that. Don't hurt their feelings. Don't make accusations against them by the Spirit. Whom God raised up, having loosed from the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me by the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you, the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn by an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on the throne, he has forever spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses, and therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, having received the Father and the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now watch this. These folks are hearing a sermon. These folks are hearing a sermon. I don't know how many were there. We know how many got saved or came to the Lord because of it, but I don't know how many were there in total. You can come to church and hear a sermon. You can come to church your whole life and hear sermons. You can come to church and sing all the songs that you want. But that's not the issue. Now watch this. Watch this next verse. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter and the rest of the apostles said, I'm going to start over. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? When is the last time that God began to deal with you and you began to cry out, God, what must I do? How do I get over this? How do I get rid of this? How do I walk in the way that you want me to walk? You know what he didn't say? He didn't say, well, if you'll sign the rolls in the back and join our church, everything will be all right. If you become a part of us, then everything is okay. In fact, if you want to keep sinning as long as you're in our church, then you're probably going to go to heaven. God will bless you no matter what you do. I mean, really? Really? Because that's not what he said. That's not what he's saying to us this morning. Again, I had a much cheerier message right here, but I can't go there. Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't believe this is necessarily water baptism. This is total immersion into Jesus. Be baptized into Jesus. Be fully immersed into Jesus. That means, God, I'm giving everything to you right now. See, repentance can't truly happen until there's full immersion into Jesus. Jesus, what do you want? I want you to pray. Yeah, but I want to golf. I want you to pray. Yeah, but I don't want to get up early. Right? I want you to forgive. Yeah, but Lord, you don't know what they did to me. I want to do my own thing. And Lord, you love me. You know what he's saying? He's saying to you to repent. Come to him. Come fully to him. Why am I saying this? Why am I going over this? Because he's coming soon and I want to be ready. I want you to be ready. I want everyone to be ready. I want you to be so full of the Holy Spirit that you're dead to yourself and you don't care what other people think because you've got a message on the inside that they need to hear. We have to repent of ourselves. That means die to ourselves so that he can live. Right? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Forgive me of doing my own thing. Forgive me of doing it my way. Forgive me of walking in pride. Forgive me of being so concerned about me that I'm not concerned about anybody else. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Who's this for? Everybody. But the entrance into the promises of God sometimes is repentance. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. That's great, but have you repented? I want the joy of the Lord to be my strength, but have you repented of your mental attitude? Have you repented of your self-centeredness? I promise I'm going to quit in a minute. But not until I feel like the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, like He's speaking to me. My heart is heavy this morning. And it's a great day out there. But He wants a church that will call people to repentance. Not just to come, say a little prayer, make Jesus the Lord of your life, and then go do whatever you want. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the good news that your sin has been forgiven. Your sin has been dealt with. The blood of Jesus is cleansing you from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus is more than enough to get your shame completely away. But the gospel is also you need to repent when you come to Him and lay those things aside and don't touch them again. So many people that I've seen with different addictions of any kind, they say, well, you know, I'm good now. It's been 10 years since I've been involved in that, and so I could have a little bit of this. And, you know, it takes about 10 minutes to get right back where they were. How about with our thought process? God's renewed my mind, man. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in love with everybody. No bitterness in me at all. But I haven't been keeping up with what God's told me to do. And all of a sudden, I get these thoughts that take me right back to the hard heart that I had before I repented in the first place. And God is saying, repent. Come back to your first love. Right? He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I know this is what You put on my heart to say. I don't know, Lord, if I've adequately expressed the heart that I feel that You have this morning. We're all Your children in here. Lord, I believe that every one of us has made this confession at some point or another. But Lord, I ask You to bring us to the true place of change. Lord, we can't change our depression if we refuse to praise. We can't change our anger if we refuse to repent of it. We can't refuse lust if we're still hanging on to it. Help me, Lord. Help us, Lord. I know that the Holy Spirit is dealing with all of us who listen. But you could have heard this and not listened. I pray that you would get alone with God today and ask Him to show your heart in light of what's been said this morning. And don't settle for anything but change where God is dealing with you. Father, I just pray for everyone that You would just touch them in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We're going to dismiss in a minute. If I could have the worship team come up. If there's something that God is really speaking to you about and you want prayer for it, line up here in front. There's no condemnation here. There's no judging. There's no saying that we're better sinners than you are because we're all in the same boat. But we need to pray for one another. We need to strengthen one another. We need to yield to one another. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the start. Maybe you've prayed the prayer, but you say in your heart, I didn't really commit myself totally to Him and His ways. Today's your day. Come to Him. Come on, I could say a prayer with you and you could pray it, but if your heart isn't right, if you're not fully in, repent first and then say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. So if you're here today, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you need healing in your body, you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, come on up and God will touch you. God will touch you. God will touch you. Be blessed today. Let's worship Him as we go. If you're going to visit or whatever, don't do it in this room right away. Go into the other room. But let's make this a holy place, a place of connection, a place of reverence before God. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.